Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Covenant Church. It's a great day to be here, and so glad y'all are able to join us. Let's pray and get started here. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that you're in our presence, that we're in your presence. I thank you, Father, that you come whenever we come together. I was thinking this morning as we were worshiping that you love your people. Everybody that was singing here today, all the different personalities in the room, all the different lives, all the different struggles, you know them, Father, and you love them still. And you really, really love them. I pray, Father, that you help us to love each other like you love us. I pray that you bless this message, Father, and bless your people, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, as a recap from last week, I taught on God as the author of life. He is the author of life. We came out of Acts 3:11, and we read some Hebrews where Peter said in Acts, he told the people, he said, "You killed the author." Which is a horrifying statement. But we talked about God is writing a story. He's writing an adventure book, I said, and you have the opportunity to be in it. Remember, we went over Pastor Murphy's timeline. I need to get that thing written out and put on the board. But a timeline, and talking about when you have in Genesis, we have Adam, and then on down the line, you have Noah, and then you have Abraham, and then you have Jesus on the cross. Then after Jesus, you have Peter and Paul and James and all of that. And then somewhere on the line, you're there. Somewhere on the line, you are there. And that is your life now on the timeline. But I said that Christ, or that God, has written a story. He's still writing a story. We know the end and we know the beginning. I'm sorry, yeah, we know the beginning and the end. But in the middle is where we're at right now, somewhere. Somewhere near the end, in these last days, the scripture says. But you have an opportunity to be in the story, and the question was that I had for you last week is, do you see yourself in the story of God? Do you see yourself as being like one of these great men in the timeline of history in the Bible? And if you don't, you need to. You need to see yourself in the story. How many of you know that we read Hebrews 11 and all these great exploits? Of these amazing men and women in Scripture that did amazing things for God. And you can read that sometimes very flippantly and read it as a fairy tale, or as that these are some just giants in the Scripture. And they were, but they were just normal people, just like me and you. They were no different. They were raising their families, they were married, they were traveling, they were doing things that we do every day. And when the time came for them to be inserted into the story of God, they were willing and ready to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." I was thinking about Rahab, and, you know, we can sugarcoat it a lot, but Rahab was a prostitute. And you can let your mind go to that, and especially back in those days, that's what she did for a living. And talk about a lot of bad decisions, and feeling like maybe you had no right to be in the story. Let me just tell you, when that day came and the spies came, she was ready and willing to say yes to God. She was in tune enough with God to say yes when the spies came. And that put her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing who God uses. We think our sins pile up to such a degree that God can't use us. But look at Rahab. Just look at her and understand that just by saying yes, she's now in the story, in the lineage of God. And not just the lineage of Jesus Christ, but then she makes it into the hall of faith. By faith, Rahab let the spies come in. She protected them. It's amazing. Are you part of the story? Do you see yourself every morning when you get up? Do you have enough faith when you roll out of bed in the morning to say, "God is writing the story and I'm in it"? and I choose to do things today. Let me tell you, you have free will. You don't have to be enslaved. You don't have to be. You can say no to God and step right out of it. There's two stories being written. The story of the world. The world is writing a story also. And it's telling you, we've got the best story over here. Come join us. Everybody's in that story. How many of you know that everybody's in that story? It is a wide path, Christ said. But then there's another story being written that you have to say yes to. And when you do, it'll look like the Hebrews 11 hall. I asked you a question last week because I was asking myself the same thing. Is, does my life look like anybody in Hebrews 11? There's not just like two or three people in Hebrews 11. There's like 40 people in Hebrews 11. And that was just, he says, I don't even have time to talk about Samson and Barak and all these other people. There's so many. He says, I don't have enough time to even talk about all the people that were willing to give their lives to God and live these mighty, amazing lives that would change the whole entire world just by living a life of faith. Normal people living by faith, saying yes to God every day. And when the time came, they said yes, everything changed for them, the whole world changed. We are recipients because of it. Because Paul said yes to God. We are in this year, church. Knowing the gospel, understanding who our Father is. Because Christ said yes, we are able to, what? We have it all. Are you in the story? The scripture says that the people in Hebrews 11 considered themselves aliens and strangers in the world. We're not talking about aliens like from space. They felt like they weren't from here. It said that they were looking for a city whose foundations were of God. A country, he says, of their own. They were not comfortable here. They were not comfortable here. I want you to hear that. I said this last week because it was convicting to me. Am I just comfortable here? Am I even any more looking for another country? Or am I good where I'm at? Do I have enough savings in my account that I can just relax now and say, I've made it in the world? I'm good with everybody. I've succeeded in this life. Because if you feel that way and that's all you got, you're not in the Hall of Faith. You're not going to be in the Hall of Faith. You don't want to be too comfortable in the world. There's a lot that has to be done. And the kingdom of God is marching on. And if you set up your life in such a way that you don't have any difficulty whatsoever, then you're probably not walking with God in a life of faith. That's just it. And again, I say that to myself. But it says that they consider themselves aliens and strangers in this world. And it says, and because of that, it says, God is not ashamed to be called of God. How powerful is that? Look, I'm going to read it. I didn't read it last week. Hebrews 11. We'll just start real quick in verse 15. Well, let's just go to 13. Hebrews 11, 13. It says, all these people, this is talking about the Hall of Faith, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. I don't want God to be ashamed to be called my God. I want to live such a life that He's not ashamed to be called my God. That He can say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Brantley. I would love that. Listen, you should long for that. You should want that. You should want Him to say that about you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jack Johnson. You should want that. He's not ashamed of those men, is he? That's how he approached everybody in the Old Testament. This is who I am. They made him proud. Because they were willing to lay down their lives. Look at those men's lives and set, you can use that as a template. Lay your life down the way they did. But you're in an adventure story, and God is the author. And he's a good author, and he's willing to write you in. And in his story, in his book, you've been placed in the story at the perfect time. So here's my sermon today. You were born from this hour, or for such a time as this. I couldn't come up with the title. But in God's book, you've been placed in history, on the timeline. You've been placed in the perfect place. All the people throughout the scripture were placed in the perfect time. You've been placed in the perfect time. The perfect day, the perfect hour. All the craziness that's in the world right now, all the insanity with the technology, and all the politics running rampant and taking the place of God in many instances. You were created for this day, right here. God knew that he was going to put you here during this time because he knew he had something that he was going to put inside of you that you could be utilized for this day and time. In this era of life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's something in you that God put into your life for 2026 and beyond that is for this generation? We have to believe that. We are the body of Christ. We are the witnesses of our God. And if we don't believe we're placed here in the perfect time, my wife jokes around all the time. She watches All Creatures Great and Small. Do y'all know that show? Anyway, it's
this old British show. But anyway, Lee always says, I was just born in this based in World War era.
And she said, I think I was made for that time. But she's wrong. She was made for this time. She was made for this time.
People say that all the time. I was born in the wrong time. But the truth is that nobody's born. You were placed here by God.
When you were born, God took great delight in forming you in your mother's womb. And while he was doing that, he put something in you called a purpose. And it was made for these days, right here, right now. Everybody around you, at work every day, or at your home, whoever you're with every day, that purpose was made in you for this. For this. And it's perfect. It's perfect. The gift is perfect. It's like a key that fits perfectly in one lock. And that's your world. And you are the key in that world. We have to see ourselves in that world. You have to believe that about yourself. You were born for this hour, for this day. We are living in this moment in history, in this century, in this year, in this day, in this hour by God's great design. We must believe this. It's not happenstance that you're living your 100 years in this moment in history. Let's turn to Psalms 139:13. One of my favorite scriptures of all time. I said that every week, but I think. All right. Psalms 139:13. For you created my inmost being. Listen to this. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And listen to this. All the days ordained for me are written in your book. Before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. all the days have been ordained for you and for me, brother. All the days have been written in this book already before any one of them came to be. And it's perfect. It's perfect. The way that He made you is perfect, and the time that He put you in is perfect. You were born for this day. Let's turn and read one more scripture. Let's read Acts 17. Y'all with me still? Acts 17, please. 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by hands, and He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made a nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Isn't that interesting? God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out to Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own people have said, we are His all. That's profound. It says, and He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they would live. All of our days have been ordained by God. He determines the time set for us and the exact places that we should live. That's incredible. Did you think you were in control? I was thinking about that when I was reading this, and I'm always amazed in thinking that God could have started 600 years to get you where you are today. He could have started that long ago with your great, great, great. I mean, I'm sure He did. He's weaving history to get you to the place where you're at today, to get me to the place where I'm at today. And because we're in His story, we're able to walk with Him. I'm trying to find my place here. Jump into the story. Don't deny Him yourself. Don't deny you the people around you the gift that He's put inside of you. They need it. They need it. You have to join the story for them if it's only for them. We've talked about this so many times, but if you have received anything from God, then you're going to know to what? To give it back to the guy next to you. It's literally that simple. And when you do that, that's when the life of faith begins. If you could join with me in waking up again tomorrow morning and thinking about what God has given you. Just think of something that God has given you. When you first started walking with God and joining into the story, think about what God has given you. And think, what can I give back today that was given to me? Start with something simple like that. And let that help break you out of the habit of being in the world every day. Of doing the same old thing every day. Tomorrow morning, how about this? When you leave today, think of something that you can give to somebody that they have given you over the years of your life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If it's a word of encouragement, give it. If it's literally the talk of salvation, like I was given so many years ago, give it. If it's money, give it. Give back something that has been given to you. Start doing one thing every single day, and I guarantee you what will happen is that a life of faith will begin to grow in you. And things will begin to be looking more, a lot more like Hebrews 11 in your life than what it does now. Because we get so caught up, don't we, in just doing the same habitual things every day. And it's going well for us, you know, and it's worked, and we get up in the morning and I just do the same thing. I'll talk about myself. I do the same thing every single day. I go to work and I you know, can get in these routines where I don't do anything by faith anymore. I'm 46 years old. I've owned my business now for 19 years. It can kind of run on autopilot, and I can just do the same thing every day and be semi-content with that. But that's not how we're called to live, and that's not what I want to be. I want to find my way into giving it. I want to join the story, and I want to be in it every day. Think about how many times possible that God has something super special for you. And you just were here, you just hadn't thought about it that morning, and it just passed by. You know, I love the story of Simeon. It's a short little story about a priest. The Bible said it's when Christ was born, or before Christ was born, that the Holy Spirit had showed him that he would one day hold the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he was an old man, and he'd been coming to the temple every day for, I don't know, does anybody remember the years? 60 years or something like that. He'd been coming to the temple every day, not knowing when this was going to happen. And then the one day he comes, it's like such a dramatic scene, Mary and Joseph, young Mary carrying the baby into the temple. And he walks by, and they walk by, and he turns around. He turns around. That's it. Whew. That's the day. He felt it in his room. He just cannot hold his baby. And he handed him the baby. And he said, This is the one. And then he says to God, you can let me die now. You can let me go. Because his day was it. What if Simeon would have had a bad day? And Mary and Joseph would have just passed on through. I wonder how many times that's happened to us. God wants to walk with us every day. He wants us to be in the story every single day. And he's made it really easy by just, in the morning, you just come to him first. You be with him. You let him, you say yes to him, that today I want to live a life of faith. And I want to give you everything I have today. I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss what you have to do today. I want to walk with you today. I want my life to begin to look like the men and women in the Hall of Faith. It's just that simple. I said last week, if we're alive to what we see every day, there's so much more going on in the heavens. We know this. We know this. We have to see ourselves in the story, and we have to see that we were put in the story at the perfect time. I went all the way off my notes, and I think I've got through. Well, y'all stand with me real quick, and we're going to pray. But does that resonate with you at all? That you're here for this time, in this hour, by God's design. I know for older people, I'll include myself and somewhat older people, but in saying that it feels crazy. I feel like I am not in touch, even with my own son's generation, to a lot of degrees. Between the social media and all the things, they're just wild. But then I remember that I was made for this moment. And that I was put in this generation for a reason. And I have sons that I'm connected with those crazy people. But he gave me whatever gift I have in me is for me. And that it will work for them. So don't let Satan deceive you and say that you've got nothing to offer because you might not understand what the other person is going through. I'm telling you, wherever you find yourself is where God wanted you to be, and you have something to offer the people that are around you. Don't withhold that from them. Don't keep that from them. Amen? Lord, help us to give everything, Father, that you've given to us. Help us, Father, to see our lives as lives of faith, Father. That we do matter, Father, in the kingdom of God, and that we are advancing, and that the people around us do need us, Father. Help us to know that and to believe it. I pray that you fill us all with the Holy Spirit, like sin. that we can say that this is the day that God created me for and be excited about it, Lord, knowing that there's so much work to be done, Father. And you have made us the light of the world. Father, I pray, Father, that you anoint everybody in this room, Lord God, to go out into the world tomorrow, living a life of faith, to be able to see with kingdom eyes, Lord, and not just see what's in front of you, and to join the storm of God. Bless your people, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.